This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we're wheeling and dealing back here, Dibs.
There's controversy going on.
We got some fantasy football stuff going on in our league here at 95.7 The Game. We just got news. And then we could make this a local story as well, Dibs. James Cook, running back for the Buffalo Bills, has been ruled inactive. He is not playing tonight on Monday Night Football.
Right.
So check your fantasy football lineups. Frank Gore Jr., yes, that same Frank Gore, his son, elevated, and he is active today for the Buffalo Bills.
You know what that is, right, Grandy?
It's an elevation sensation.
That's the original. Cha-ching! Carter, put down the fantasy model to do your job, Chickering. Thank you.
Anyway, well, where this gets interesting...
It's very interesting.
...is Mark Willard...
My partner, under the weather...
Generally, yes, sitting in this chair.
Yeah.
Man, he is trailing by, what, six or eight points?
He needs Cook to get six and change to beat the first place Chickering.
Yeah, who is sitting in the chair that I normally sit in. And there are a couple reserve Buffalo Bills running backs out there that someone could go and scoop up, either Willard and try to win, or someone else to try to screw over Mark Willard and keep him from winning. So we'll see how it all plays out.
You're trying to block my partner, and that normally I'd be in favor of it, but Carter Chickering is, I think, in first or close to first, and if he loses and everything else holds, we're going to have like a six-way tie at 4-2, including the Dibber, and I'll be honest, I don't even know if I've ever won a fantasy football league. This is not something I'm normally very good at, but this year's team, Dibber Claws, pretty strong. So I'm quietly, cautiously optimistic about our chances, my chances. So having Chickering lose would be good for business. And you're over here trying to help him. Is this wrong, Grandy?
I've had enough.
Chickering's in first, and who is the only team that's beat him, huh? That would be me.
Yeah, you're a non-factor.
I
want to
keep it that way.
You're a non-factor.
I want to keep it that way.
We're not worried about you. And
you're going to be worried about me in like 4 weeks.
Thoughts and prayers to Sam Lubman, your morning show producer, who took Christian McCaffrey with the first overall pick.
Yeah, that's rough.
His team has been... I'm thinking about Joe Namath on a Monday Night Football broadcast with Susie Colbert. Struggling. I don't really care that Lubman is struggling. He is struggling.
Yeah. Lubman is essentially a bye week at this point.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Anyway, that's all for the fantasy portion. But I texted my partner and let him know. So it's a race for the Bills backup.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think most rosters don't have spots to pick anybody up
because you don't have
anyone hurt or all your players have already played this week and you can't drop someone that's already played.
Just one last quick aside. Do you have three kickers on your roster, Chickering?
Yeah, I do weird things.
What?
Seems to be working, though.
I do weird things. He has three kickers on his team. I noticed this before.
Oh, defenses.
Oh, my bad. Yeah,
no, that's still thing. Weird.
Equally
that's still weird.
I was looking to pick up a defense, and I was looking at rosters. I'm like, this dude's got three defenses. You can only play one. Anyway.
Whatever.
So ends the fantasy football portion of the show.
Somehow he's in first. It makes no sense.
A lot of points.
Yeah, he's a bearded savant in there.
Maybe Mark Willard will pick up Ray Davis or Frank Gore Jr. and we'll knock him off. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see.
By the way, coming up on Wednesday here on 95.7 The Game, Willard and Dibs will be broadcasting live from John Madden Studio as we remember the great John Madden. Members of the Madden family will be there, of course, along with Willard and Dibs. And Steve Mariucci, former Niners head coach, will join the show live on site at 3. So we have that to look forward to on Wednesday. Should be a ton of fun here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Okay, Dibs, Niners versus Chiefs. As we get back into this conversation, let's go out to the phones to get us going once again on this. And that is Rich in Fremont, who wants to break down Niners and Chiefs. Rich, how you doing? What do you think about this matchup coming up on Sunday?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I don't think it's a must-have win for the Niners, and the reason why is because the season's still early. However, I think if they did get this win, I think it's something that would be psychologically beneficial for them as far as their mental is concerned, because we know as the season gets in the groove and it gets towards the middle of the season, psychologically you start thinking more about what you're doing and what you're not doing. And I think if they could beat the Chiefs, that's going to basically right the ship, and it would send a message to the rest of the league that, hey, you know what? You know, the Niners didn't start off well because of injuries, and also, you know, hey, they shot themselves in the foot a couple of times. But I honestly believe at the end of the day, this is about them realizing that, hey, at the end of the day, you are San Francisco. You need to play like San Francisco, and you have them in your house, so you treat them accordingly. You go out there, you push them, and you punch them in the mouth, and you send them home thinking about that on their grill. Okay, that's the way you handle that. All right? Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Rich. I think Rich is right. There's definitely a psychological, a mental component here, and maybe it doesn't reach the level of, you know, getting the monkey off their back, Dibs, because the Niners are bigger than just a regular season game in October. You're right about that. But there is something to be able to say, the one team we haven't been able to beat, we finally beat them. That's got to be worth something. Yes. More than just a win in the win column.
More than just a win, but I do think that it's more about building off of what you did in Seattle. And you played a pretty good game against Seattle. There were mistakes, a kickoff return for a touchdown, and a game that got closer than it should have. Then, you know, it was dominant, but it should have been more dominant. And you want to build off of that, and you want to get some momentum as you head into the bye week. I think those things are as important, if not more important, than the psychology of Kansas City. The odds of you facing Kansas City again in the Super Bowl are not great. I know that the Niners are probably still favored to win the NFC, and Kansas City is the favorite in the AFC, so the odds would tell you that these two teams could and might meet again in February in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. So that is definitely a possibility, but for me, it's more about building off of what you did against Seattle and putting aside what happened against Arizona and really getting some positive momentum going into the bye, because we talked about it coming out of the bye. You've got some tough road games. You've got a back-to-back with Green Bay and Buffalo. You've got Seattle coming off a bye. The schedule does get tougher after your bye week next weekend.
Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are still far and away the favorite to win the AFC. I know you and Willard have been talking about this every so often throughout the season, despite a loss here and a loss there. Do you think the 49ers are still the odds-on favorite to win the NFC at this point? What do you think?
Yeah, they should be. Absolutely.
And they are.
Yeah.
And plus 330. The Lions are second, plus 480.
Right. And the Lions just lost Aiden Hutchinson to a broken fibula, I believe. So,
yeah.
And Dan Campbell, the head coach, said today that he wouldn't rule him out for the year. And we'll get Doc Pandya's thoughts on that tomorrow. I think it's usually an 8-week thing or more, which would put him out until late regular season.
They didn't rule him out for the whole season.
Dan Campbell said, and I was looking at a headline on ESPN, that he won't rule him out. Lions coach won't count out Hutchinson returning. And that is, you know, Campbell says, I would never count Hutch out ever. So probably a long road, but I would never count him out. And I would say if anybody could make it back, it'd be him. And we've seen crazy things happen. You remember T.O. when he had his broken ankle and he still played in the Super Bowl and he played through it. So there's a possibility that he could come back later in the year. I wouldn't rule it out either. But as of right now, Detroit loses a big piece. And I'm still not totally sold on Minnesota, even though Darnold's been great. And he's in, like, the MVP conversation right now, think about it, includes Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Like, I don't know where they are in the odds for MVP, but they're both in the conversation.
I'm gonna look at it for you.
Right? And it's wild to think about an MVP conversation that includes Darnold and Mayfield at this point in the year.
Let's see. Regular season MVP, Mahomes, Lamar, C.J. Stroud, Josh Allen, Brock Purdy, Jaden Daniels, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield. So yeah. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold are both in the top 10.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as you look at the way the season could continue, and we know that the MVP is going to go to a quarterback almost assuredly, and it's going to go to a quarterback of a very good team, right? Yeah. And, you know, Baltimore at 4-2, Lamar is probably a smart bet, but I wonder if there won't be voter fatigue like there was with Nikola Jokic in the NBA, where, you know, voters were just kind of tired of giving it to him. And so Embiid, who had a good year, Embiid got a lot more support, I think, than he would have otherwise because Jokic had already won a couple.
Let me ask you about this, Dave. So the Niners 3-3. I think if you were to ask any Niner fan, any one of us, you probably would have predicted through 6 weeks that they would have probably at least 4 wins. Maybe the most common answer would be 5-1, probably. 3-3 seems like a bit of a disappointment. Are you encouraged enough by what you saw Thursday in Seattle that you still feel like the Niners are the best team in the NFC, as the odds suggest they might be?
I think that they're in the conversation, but I also believe that it's going to come down to home field advantage. And also, there is a certain great advantage, I believe, in being the number one seed because you get that 1 week off. And you've got a team that is, I don't know if they're an older team. I'd have to look at all the rosters and see.
Niners are, yeah.
Where it compares, it feels like they're older. You've got a 36-year-old left tackle who would love a week off. And George Kittle, he's been doing so much for this offense. He plays a ton of snaps, and Deebo Samuel plays so physically, and McCaffrey hasn't even been able to make it on the field yet, right? And all these things are leading me to think that this team would benefit more than a lot of other teams at having that week off. And you get the week off, and then you get a home game. So I think about the Niners and their quest to get back to the Super Bowl, and I see their path really needing the number one seed more than other teams.
Yeah. Probably. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Maybe one of the reasons to be more encouraged by the Niners' chances, despite their slow start at 3-3, and by the way, the Niners, the seventh oldest team in the NFL by average age of every player on the roster. You can maybe find a different number if you do it just based on starters or key players and all that. And I think the Niners would rank even older than that if you did it that way. But seventh oldest when you include the whole roster. But one of the other reasons, Dibs, to be encouraged potentially, maybe has nothing to do with the Niners at all and has to do with the fact that you could poke a hole in just about every other team in the NFC. Despite the Vikings being undefeated, do we really believe that's a team that's going to, if they get home field advantage, beat a couple of quality teams in the NFC playoffs? I would bet probably not. I don't think they're going to be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. You look, as you talked about, at the Dallas Cowboys, who won the NFC East last year and had the second best record in the NFL, in the NFC behind you. They were the 2 seed. They lost at home. They got blown out by the Packers in the playoffs last year, and they look quite a bit worse this year than they were last year. The Philadelphia Eagles, after a win, are booing their coach off the field, and his coach had this to say about it post-game.
It looked like you were interacting with some fans at the end of the game. What was going on?
No, just excited. Just excited to get the win.
Were fans yelling things at you from the
start? Just excited to get the win.
Just excited to get the win. Same answer to a couple of different questions. He was asked about him interacting with some fans. Just excited. Did they yell anything at you? No, just excited. That's how the fans are treating Nick Sirianni after an Eagles win. So they're in disarray.
And you know that he has come out today and apologized for that, saying, quote, "I was trying to bring energy and enthusiasm yesterday, and I'm sorry and disappointed at how my energy was directed at the end of the game. My energy should be all in on coaching, motivating, and celebrating with our guys. And I've got to have better wisdom and discernment of when to use that energy, and that wasn't the time." Nick Sirianni today in his teleconference, his video conference after basically acting like a clown and getting called out this morning across all national TV pundit programs. And then he goes out on his teleconference and apologizes for his energy not being directed properly at the end of the game.
So the Eagles are 3-2, and that's what's going on after a win in Philadelphia. So things don't look or feel good there either. I know you're not a particular fan of Nick Sirianni, and I'm sure what happened yesterday might not make you any more of a
He's
fan
a clown.
Either.
He's a clown. I mean, if he was like doing birthday parties for kids, I'd be a huge fan. If he was doing balloon animals with full face makeup, yeah, you're a clown. You're great.
But guess what? He's a football coach. So
if he was my football coach, I'd be embarrassed. And it actually made me think a little bit more about Kyle Shanahan this morning and all the people who want to rip Shanahan for this and that. And you can, but I think about the way he comports himself, and he doesn't ever embarrass you as an organization. You may not like the play call. You may not like the challenges. You may not like the fact that he's buried in the laminated play sheet. Whatever you don't like about him, I don't think you can look at him and think, that dude's a clown. He embarrasses us, and I'm embarrassed to have him be our head coach.
Yeah.
So there's that. I mean, I think that that's an actual thing
that
you can look at and be like the Raiders, for example, Antonio Pierce. He's not embarrassing on the same level, but you watch what they did against Pittsburgh, and my God, that's embarrassing. You basically gave that game away 4 or 5 different times. They are undisciplined. They don't tackle. They are terrible.
It's a classic Raiders football team is what it is.
Right, but you look at the head coach and you think, well, this guy's just not, he's not cut out for the job.
No, he's
not.
And
so you look at a lot of different situations and I see Sirianni and I go, man, that guy's a clown. And I look at Mike McCarthy in Dallas and I think, my God, that's a dead man walking.
Well, did you hear what Jerry Jones said about Mike McCarthy yesterday?
No,
post-game?
I missed it.
Here he is.
What would it take you to evaluate making a head coaching change in season?
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, not considering that.
But you've done it once before.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you?
No.
Okay, well, I'm not going hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
You buy that?
Yeah, right now. And basically what he's saying is I'm not going to go on the record and say that I'm thinking about making a change. You think I'm an idiot? You think I would do that? No, he's not going to do that. But
I'm not going to play hypothetical.
Exactly. But honestly, hypothetically, Jerry, if you had a coach get, I don't know, embarrassed by a Detroit team at that level, would you think about maybe having somebody else in that spot who maybe it would be less embarrassing for you? Because that was embarrassing.
47-9.
And they called off the dogs. They could have hung a 60-piece on them. And that thing, that got away from Dallas early and often. So to your point about the NFC, Philly's got a clown coach. Dallas is in disarray. And then you've got at the top of the conference, forget the South for a minute, but you've got Washington that looks impressive with a very young quarterback, a rookie quarterback, and Minnesota with Sam Darnold. And I like Sam Darnold more than most, but I just don't look at any of these teams top of the conference and think, wow, that team is scary.
So maybe that's the reason more so than what the Niners are doing to just be confident in the Niners' ability to maybe get out of the conference again, because no one else is really having as, maybe no one else is blowing everyone out of the water, but I mean, they're not. The Niners, despite their struggles, Dibs, might not be as far away from the top of the conference as it feels like they should be, because everyone else isn't as good as they were last year either.
That's true, but I look at the future of the schedule and forget Kansas City for just a moment, but you do have Tampa, a good team on the road, Green Bay, a good team on the road, and then you've got Detroit December 30th. So these feel like home field advantage elimination games way further down the road, so that leads us back to Kansas City, where you don't want to give away another game and be 3-4. And even if you beat Dallas, you're 4-4. And now you go to Tampa and they might be 6-2 at that point. And now that game feels way more important in terms of home field advantage, right?
Yeah, no doubt it does. From the Niners' perspective, I know we were talking on our show thread before the show, and Lucas Alexander, director of sports back there, saying there's No one in the NFC that scares him as a Niner fan, and the only team still that gets him worried is the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you come out of this game having beaten the Chiefs, and in his mind at least, and I think in the mind of a lot of Niner fans, you think, well, who can stop us? No one in the NFC is good enough. I'm a little worried, particularly and personally, by the Green Bay Packers. They seem to be a team that's only going to get better as time goes along. But I'm kind of with them. It's less to do with the 49ers, more of a general belief that they have talent. They're going to get healthier. McCaffrey will be back at some point. Dre Greenlaw will be back at some point. You're going to get to see Ricky Pearsall for the first time at the latest in a few weeks. Like, you are going to get better. Maybe you have an opportunity to improve more than any other team in the NFL based on your current injuries and who could likely return before the season is over. If you get the job done here on Sunday, you might suddenly look at a team that was 2-3 a couple of weeks ago and then turn around and think that they're legitimately the favorite to win the entire thing.
Yeah, 4-3, and then you'd have Dallas coming in, even though Dallas is off a bye as well. Dallas looks like a team that, if they're not fully broken, they don't look even a shell of themselves, I don't think. Back-to-back wins over the Giants and Pittsburgh, barely. They got absolutely motorboated by New Orleans, and Baltimore beat them, so I don't have a lot of faith in Dallas. So you think about if you can beat Kansas City, and then if you can take out Dallas, which you've done pretty well at of recent years, then all of a sudden you go into the bye hot. Not Dibberclaws hot, but close, 5-3, and then you can start thinking about, you know, grander designs on bigger goals.
Yeah, fade the Divers coming up in a little bit here on 95.7.
I'm not quite hot, but I'm getting closer.
You've won two in a row.
Yeah.
Although last night was a win, but it was not a pretty win.
Chalk that baby up.
You did it. You did a Mahomes and the Chiefs. You won ugly.
Whatever.
That's what you did last night.
I don't even know who that Giants kicker is, but I have an idea, Dable. Why don't you trot him out there again? That guy stinks.
So you picked
the Natty.
Yeah, Cincinnati -3.5, right?
It was a lock.
3.5?
I think it was never in doubt.
It was 3.5, and they won by 10.
All Chase Brown had to do was go down. The game was over.
I know.
The game was over.
Dude, and the Giants had two chances to recover it, and they just could not.
And then Chase Brown runs it in from, what, 35 yards out or whatever
it was. I was looking at my confidence pool, and every favorite covered yesterday. Is that right?
Really?
At least on my sheet. I don't know if the numbers moved, but according to my Excel spreadsheet, which comes out on Tuesday, the spreads that we all had to pick off of, every favorite covered.
Well, that's got to be the first time of the year that has ever happened. Because this year has been ripe for the big upset.
The one was, it was the Colts, right? 9-point dog. That's the only one.
I think it was like three. Right around three.
The Colts were dogs against the Titans?
Yeah. One outright.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
they were on the road.
I should have realized that and put some money on that because that seems odd to me. Will Levis ever favored in a football game sounds like a mistake, in my opinion. But that's a conversation for a different day. Let's go back out to the phone lines here on Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570. NFC across the board, you got struggles all over the place. The Niners are not immune from that themselves, but does that give you a little bit more confidence in the Niners' ability moving forward as we gear up for the Kansas City Chiefs? 888-957-9570. Brett is in San Leandro, and he's up next. What's up, Brett? You're on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, I got one thing that I like about Purdy and one thing that sports broadcasters across the board irritate me. What do you guys want first?
Let's start with the annoyance.
All right, the annoyance is if this would have happened, everything would be different. That's so annoying to me. If every team could do that with the Niners, and besides the Jets game, they'd be 1-4 right now. Cage fighting, boxing. Oh, the guy was winning all the way up until he got knocked out. It's so irritating to me because that's the way it happened. Everybody could make that argument, and everybody'd be a Super Bowl champion at the end of the day, a world champion, World Series champion. It's just irritating to me. Now, the one thing I really like about Brock Purdy, every time he either throws an interception or has a bad three and out, he sits on the bench and looks like Forrest Gump waiting for a bus. It's just so funny to me. He's so nonchalant about it. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, life's a box of chocolates. Thank you for the phone call. That's Forrest Gump line.
Yeah, you got it. You never know what you're going to get.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you want from your quarterback. I would rather have a quarterback sit over there and look at the tablet and just, you know, kind of be nonplussed as opposed to what Geno Smith did on Thursday, where he went over there and he looked at the tablet and then he slammed it into his head three times and then he threw it on the ground frustratedly. It's because he was throwing pick after pick.
I think that anger should be directed at DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
My God, DK Metcalf, he's always been kind of a character and he's kind of a player that I feel like from the outside, you want him on your football team. But if you're a fan of the team that he's on, you get frustrated with him almost every single game. First of all, a couple of moments where he didn't really even try to go up and make a play on a football that he could have easily caught. And then the interception in the fourth quarter that was picked off by Renardo Green. We were talking about it in the green room before the show.
Yep.
DK Metcalf has a step on Renardo Green running horizontal towards the sideline. Geno Smith throws it, expecting his star receiver to keep going the same way, keep the same angle, keep a step in front of Renardo Green. As Geno throws it, DK Metcalf breaks down the field like vertical, allows Renardo Green to step in front of him and for an easy interception. That's going to go down to the box score as a terrible throw by Geno. That's on DK Metcalf, and I'm sure that's who Geno was upset about.
Right, and there was one earlier in the game that was a deep throw down the field, and DK just kind of drifted on it as opposed to putting the foot in the ground and going up and fighting back for a ball that was underthrown.
And then it was George Odom who got a pass breakup with like the back of his shoulder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that's DK. You know, he's very enigmatic, and he's a bit of a curious character. Yes. And I think when things aren't going great, he is quick to not fight for the ball or not, you know, sharpen his route and go back to the ball on the one you're talking about.
They kind of snowball on him, it seems like. All right, if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to check out how both the Morning Roast and Steiny and Guru reacted to a wild week 6 of the NFL season and started to get ready for Niners versus Chiefs. It's Willard and Dibs, Grandy in for Willard here on 95.7 The Game. We're back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.